there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
Boy, is it another day. This is Bill Knight.
And it's good to be here today. A lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, there are.
I found this interesting. You know of Prince Andrew and his purported involvement with the Maxwell case and Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. So what's going on?
There was a lawsuit filed against him by a lady named Virginia Giuffre. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right. Giuffre? Or a reasonable fact.
Close enough for jock work.
Yes. Anyway, she filed a lawsuit against him because she claims that he abused her sexually when she was a minor.
Right.
Well, his lawyers countered by saying he didn't do anything wrong. He denied it. They said, this didn't happen, and we want this to be dismissed. Well, the judge said, nope, it's not being dismissed. It's going to court in September. So we have another show trial coming along in U.S. courts.
Well, not saying that she doesn't deserve to be heard and he needs to answer a few questions. It just seems that the timing of a lot of things really is interesting. Right before the midterms, the distraction of another high profile, lawsuit.
Have you noticed how many people, famous people, have died in the last 4 to 6 weeks?
There's a bevy of them. I mean, yeah, we talked about, I forget his name now. Hickman.
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget. Now they did the autopsy. They said he went in his sleep. You know, his left hand was over his chest. His right hand was laying down. He just had gone to sleep, had a great conversation with his fairly new wife, and he was happy about the show. Everything looked good. They said there was no drugs or stuff like that, but they still are investigating his death. They said there was no foul play, and they've sent off stuff that will take 2 to 3 weeks or longer to figure out. And they said, well, you know, he did have COVID just before he died, but he was over that. I'm like going, that was a weird thing to throw into that statement when they're
they also mentioned that he was vaxxed, I believe, in December.
Right.
He had the vaccination in December. A lot of people try to make these famous deaths political. They try to manipulate them so they can get a narrative out of it. He may have just
died
away at 65. Yeah.
That very well could be. I mean, you can't really write anything into the narrative. Betty White, there was controversy around her, and she said that, you know, that she alluded that she got vaxxed, you know, or got boosted. And, you know, they had a date that she did it. And her agent said, oh, no, not on that date. Mm-hmm. You know, no, that's not the reason. Turned out she had a stroke. Now, there is a correlation out there. People are saying, yeah, people that are getting the latest booster are having these kind of problems. Is that true or is that a myth? I don't know.
The fact that she was 99 years old, 3 weeks shy of her 100th birthday, if anything, I would applaud her wonderful long life, longer than most people will have.
Oh, yeah. 99. If I make it to 99, I'll be doing the happy dance, and that'll kill me. How'd he die? He was doing a happy
dance. He died
with
the happy dance, yes.
Have you ever seen that dance?
Oh, you don't want to see it, really.
It's a killer.
It's a killer.
Anyway. I mean, I do want to live to be old, but you know what? When it happens, when the time comes, it comes. And that's all there is to it. You can't cheat death. You know, you might get a second chance, but you can't cheat it.
When you're younger, you think, boy, I'd like to live to be 99. But I can tell you as a matter of fact, having had relatives, including my mom, who was 96, you get to a point, I think, where all of your contemporaries, all of the people you grew up with are gone. And it's not a very easy thing, I think, for these people to be around when their friends and loved ones of their age, sisters, husband, close friends, are gone. My mom, for example, she loved us and she loved the fact that we were with her, but we were her kids. Her husband was gone. Her sisters, she had a bunch of sisters and a couple of brothers, they were all gone. There's a sadness when you get to be 99 or 96 or 95. It's not
there
easy.
There is, but you know what? This country is kind of bad about that. We don't embrace and celebrate our old, and we should. They do. I think in China they do. I think in Japan they do. Here, we abandon them or we send them off to a nursing home. And you're right. Their friends around them are dying. And you know what? You don't have to be 60, 70, or 80 for that to happen. Let me tell you, friend, that starts happening actually in your 20s. I started losing friends in my 20s, 30s, 40s. I was going, what's going on, man? Everyone is dying around me. You get to 50 and you're going like over half my friends are gone.
This is a casual podcast. We can talk about this. You and I worked on a Solid Gold radio network.
Yes,
and
we did.
And we did it. I did it for 3 years. You did it for a couple of years. It was a lot of fun. But a couple of the people, three of the people I can think of that worked with us are passed away since that network closed about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Well, obviously, the big name, the guy that had put it together, had a dream to, you know, reinvent radio the way it was and do it on the internet. He got some good, creditable people. And you know what? We made a lot of inroads.
We did.
But, you know, the internet, believe it or not, is still a baby. They're still finding itself, inventing itself. And even though we had a lot of listeners, it did not, you know, bring in the financial gains that they wanted. So nobody made the money that we were supposed to make.
And I think it was, I think for that founder you're talking about, I think it was a stressful thing for him to get off the ground. I don't think he realized how much was involved with doing what he did.
What he bit off. Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, I'll pay tribute to him. I mean, it was Dick Urbisty. And you're going, who is that? Well, in the community of radio, you'd know. But if you remember when Fox first came on the air and Fox Sports, the big voice guy, and he did those weird reads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He just had fun. He played with the audio, which a lot great of us voice. Like to do. And then there was the Death Race movie. He was that announcer in that. So that gave him his claim to fame. And
I think he told me that he did 53 trailers. He and his wife moved out, I guess, to Hollywood. And that's the mecca of voice work. That's where you find all the national stuff, where the networks are. And he did quite well for himself. He was the voice of Spock, Fox Sports, or Spock Sports.
Easy for you to say.
It certainly is. And that's why I don't do Fox Sports. I can't say it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Goodness. He didn't let the grass grow. He was trying to do things. And that is one thing, you know, and he was in his 60s. So he died young. Rob Stewart, a guy that I've known for years worked with.
Yep.
He, we lost him. And, well, heck, I mean, I worked with him back in the 80s when, you know, he gave me a choice when I went to this one radio station. He goes, well, look, you know, the money's the same for you, Bill. Do you want to do afternoons or do mornings? And I'm sitting there going, well, let me see. Do I want to get up at 3 a.m. or do I want to just, you know, sleep in, come in at 2? I sat there and said, I'll be in at 2. And another guy that people might know took the morning show, Glenn Beck. So he took my leftovers, but my leftovers paid off big for him.
I guess they did. Also, we lost Kerry Paul, who was a talented radio guy who had been a disc jockey and a successful programmer throughout his career. These were guys, by the way, we mentioned these three people because they were vital, active, relatively young people. I say relatively young. They were in their 60s for the most part. They were here. They were with us until about a year ago. And they were working
As recently as, well, this summer is when we lost Dick. So they're missed. You know, it's a tough thing to lose, especially during COVID, because you got to have time to grieve, but you've got more time to grieve as you sit at home alone in isolation. I can't imagine.
Oh,
how lonely that would be.
When you lose somebody you love during this COVID situation, most of the time you can't go to the funeral. You can't go pay your final respects. I lost a brother during COVID. I would have been there at his funeral, but I couldn't go to his funeral because he was 450 miles away. This is not a normal, easy time. And it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight. And I wonder, if you don't get the vaccine, will there ever be a time when an unvaccinated person feels comfortable enough to go out in the world and fully participate?
Well, as one person put it to me, you know, people that aren't vaccinated and they don't know your story, people that aren't vaccinated don't care about anybody, and they should just go get a gun and put it in their mouth and end it all. If they don't
awful.
Do it for us.
That's awful.
And yeah, I heard that
that's,
one. And,
that's terrible. And,
you know, there are reasons that I haven't. There are reasons that I will get vaccinated. But I really, not because I wanted to stay in the house, I have stayed in the house. Now, there is the thing, and this is not the reason, but there is the thing that early on, when it first became in the news, and it was right around the time that I lost my daughter in 2020, I became very sick. I had had some foot surgery, and then I got very sick. But they didn't know what it was back then. It was COVID. And I fought it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the natural immunity.
You thought it was the flu. You probably
thought it was, but everything, you know, hindsight with everything, they're going, you must have had it. But either way, and a lot of people did before it was a known fact.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't matter. You know, do you have the, and I've been exposed to it numerous times since, and I haven't gotten it. And I'm not trying to get in people's face, but you're exposed to it every day. I mean, you can go open the window. If it's in the air, it's in the air. You're going to get it. And the vaccine, as I see, doesn't prevent you from getting it. It doesn't prevent you from me or me from you. It is a added safety blanket just in case you can't build the natural immunity. Now, the reason that I will do it, because I didn't really want to talk about this, but the reason that I will do it is because I have projects that require me to do it. One of the projects sat there and said, no, we respect you and your rights, and we're going to demand everyone do this anyway, which is, you know, common sense, social distancing, you know, wash your hands, the mask. And I'm going, well, I do that anyway. I do that mm-hmm. even if there wasn't COVID around.
Right.
If I see somebody sneezing, guess what? Get out the hand sanitizer. Let's keep everything clean, you know, out of respect for other people's wishes, because I'm going to be thrown in that environment. Yeah, we'll do it.
I was listening this morning to a guy in Boston who I listen to regularly, Jeff Cooner on WRKO in Boston. I may have mentioned this to you before. He had COVID over the Christmas holidays, very bad case of COVID. Didn't realize how bad it was until I heard his wife describe it over the phone to him this morning. He was on the verge of dying. All of his oxygen levels were so low that they were afraid that his organs were going to start shutting down. And she was fighting, talking to everybody, pleading for ivermectin and other therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, these have been poo-pooed by the CDC and Dr. Anthony Fauci, who I think is anything but the man he purports to be. I think what he's done, it's a crime.
You know, he's the one that did the proof of function. He is the one that essentially, for all practical purposes, not only helped to get us to fund it, but created this monster that we have now that's mutating every which way but loose. And there are 5.5 million people that have died. So their lives, their souls are on his footsteps.
And more every day. The thing is, this lady was fighting to get ivermectin. She calls her PCP, and her PCP says, we can't give you ivermectin. It hasn't been prescribed by CDC. It's not an effective therapeutic. She said, how's it going to hurt? They wouldn't give it. She talked to friends all over Boston, hospitals, nurses. They wouldn't give her ivermectin. She ends up getting it. A friend of hers finally comes across with almost like an illegal, you know, a backdoor parking lot. Hey, I got some ivermectin here. You want it? She got the initial dose. He started to recover almost immediately. I mean, he was dying. They gave him ivermectin. He starts to recover, but you know, you have to have so much dosage. You got to keep going for a while with this. She only had a limited amount. So she contacted that place that I mentioned yesterday
and got it.
What they do, I guess, is they do a teller visit where they talk to the patient, they talk to the patient's support people, and then they write a prescription. She had it filled at a place in Texas, and they overnighted the ivermectin to her in Boston. Why in the name of God can't they just go down to the CVS or Walgreen or whatever your local pharmacy is and get your ivermectin? You know, they have it in there. It is a legal drug for some things, you know, but...
Well, I'll ask you this question. Now, I don't know, and you know that when I got out of radio, I managed at a pharmacy, well, a Walgreens, and, you know, part of the thing is if you manage a store or you're one of the managers, you've got to go back and work in that pharmacy, and they do their little online college for it.
Yeah.
But ivermectin, I don't know all the drugs. I know that we had, like, class three. Well, that's the potent stuff that can get you in trouble. I don't believe that's a class three.
No, ivermectin has been around for years, and it is a cheap pill. It's like 40 cents a pill. And that's probably why they don't want you to have it, because if you get that and you get better, you don't need the vaccine. The vaccine they're making hundreds of dollars off of, the pharmaceutical companies. You know, the thing that gets me about Fauci, I just bought, I'll show you the book, Bill. I haven't read it yet. You can't see it on the podcast, but I'll show my friend. He can see it.
Anthony Fauci, yeah. You know, yeah. Bill Gates in there too. I see that right away. Yep. Big Pharma and the global war on democracy and public health. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., New York Times bestseller.
Well, the thing is, Robert F. Kennedy, he's more liberal than I would prefer. I don't mind saying it. I'm conservative. If you're not conservative, well, you have a right to be whatever you want to be, right? When it comes to this, he's right on the money about Fauci. And Fauci was not happy with Robert F. Kennedy coming out with this book. By the way, I also bought another book yesterday. Speaking of books, there's a brand new
actually
book.
Read. Wow.
Yeah. Well,
better than me.
Yeah. I have my wife read it to me. No, Glenn Beck has a new book out.
Right.
And I know that guy. It's flying off the shelves, flying off the shelves. Let me see what I can get the name of the book. I think that it's something that you would like, Bill. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but when people like Glenn and Bill O'Reilly write books, it's not always them sitting down at the typewriter every night or at the computer, word processor.
I worked with Beck. I know how he's a great presenter, and yep. He believes what he puts out, but he has people there researching, right. Digging it up and say, hey, Beck, look at this.
Absolutely. They have a staff of people who are looking into all of the different facts. They're getting verification of things. Let's see. I'm trying to find out the name of the Glenn Beck book that I wrote. And I will tell you in a matter of seconds, because I bought it on that local store, Amazon. You may have heard of it once or twice.
Boy, Amazon's into everything. They do books. They do all the stuff that people buy now. And they're doing movies, too.
It's called The Great Reset. It's Glenn Beck with Justin Haskins. Now, with Justin Haskins means that Justin was the guy who was hitting the keyboards. But don't minimize Glenn's participation, because I'm sure he had to read it and approve, and they had discussions about things that he wanted to talk about. And, you know, Glenn's a smart guy. If you remember his show on Fox, he used to stand up in front of that blackboard.
Yeah, that was the smartest thing to do. He would sit there and basically draw the picture so that you connected the dots. He would do that for you. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does when he gets stuff in.
I wonder why I spent $25 for the hardcover last night, and it's $18.19 right now. It's going, hey, folks, if you're thinking of getting the book, I would say
get it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please. I mean, you know, hey, look, you know, while in the Biden world, prices are going up, conservative books are going down. Well, The Great Reset has been in progress for a long time. He didn't just uncover this. This has been out there, but, you know, nobody's really, well, it hasn't been in the mainstream, you know, and the liberal media will go, oh, that's conspiracy theory. You know, behind every conspiracy is some truth. It's just like they talk about the election going, you know, there were the senators that sat there. The one senator, I forget what his name was, but Oh, who is it? Our liberal senator friend that sat there and said that said Biden won the election. And I sat there and I thought, all right, you know what? I accept he won the election. That's not the question. How did he win the election?
You know, and Mitch McConnell yesterday
came
out and said that he backed Senator Rounds. Rounds was a, I think he's a Republican from South Dakota. And he had said that he felt that it was a legitimate election. Rounds did.
See, yeah.
There are rhinos, Republican in name only. For McConnell to come out and back him up, mind you, McConnell was side by side with Trump throughout his whole term, saying what good friends we are and I back the president. And they will turn on a dime in Washington for their own benefit.
Well, I was going to say, if there's something to be had or some strategy that he's got in his mind going, well, you know what? They got numbers there. They say they got the votes. I'll acknowledge that he won it fair and square. I would never say that he won it fair and square. I would acknowledge that Biden won the election. And I think most people will. Well, there's the votes. How did you get those votes?
I'm one of those people who have my sincere doubts. I have one of those, and I think I'm one of like 85 million people who have sincere doubts about the legitimacy of this past election. Okay, well, we're over a year into it, folks. We got three more years probably of this guy.
You know, I watched the election numbers switch at 2 a.m. and all of a sudden a million flip. And I'm going, that's when the mail ballots came in.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, that's where you got to be worried about now with Biden, because he's going, well, you know, we need to do election reform. And that is code for, let's bring these people across the border. You don't have to be a citizen to vote.
Right.
Now, think about that. Aside from maybe stacking the numbers to one political party for their gain of power, let's say a foreign country goes, you know, we can infiltrate that country. And we can put people in place that can sit there, be Democrats, be Republicans, but vote for their operatives.
People say, well, don't worry about New York City. You know what's happened in New York City? They voted to allow illegals in New York City to vote in local New York City elections, meaning what they can vote for are things that pertain to the city only, but they're allowing them in the booth. And as soon as you open the door to that, it's the beginning of the end, folks, because before long, they'll be voting for state things, and then they'll be voting for federal things. And being a citizen of the U.S. will mean nothing. If you can travel through Mexico, come up from Honduras, travel through Mexico, and walk across the border and get all the benefits. Did you hear what California is doing? California is giving health care. This is what Gavin Newsom said yesterday. He's giving health care to any illegal who comes into California. Now, mind you, there are veterans who fought in our wars who are sleeping on the streets in California.
Yep.
And they're getting nothing. They ain't getting jack. There are people coming across the border from Mexico, and they're getting greeted like they're coming home. Someone said, and it's so true, if the other side is claiming you're doing something wrong, odds are that's what they're doing wrong. And it's so true.
Well, that's kind of the liberal agenda, where everything they say, expect the exact opposite. It's a lie. And that's true. And I'm not saying that people in general that are registered Democrats are bad. I'm saying there are bad players in the party, and there are bad players in the Republican Party, too. And, you know, there's a bigger game that's going on, and we are all puppets that are being played. And, well, probably in Beck's book, you would find that out, that, you know, the Great Reset.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good. And I do think, you know, now, aside from writing big books, a lot of people don't like to read big books. They want to get the short cheat sheet.
They want the crib notes. What was the name of that company that used to make crib notes?
Crib notes, cliff notes, whatever it is. Yeah.
Cliff notes. That's it. Cliff notes. They want the cliff note edition of it. You remember there used to be a company. I don't know whether they still do this or not, but they would print. If you had to read a book, you had to read whatever.
They'd give you the high
War and Peace.
You get what it was.
You get the cliff note edition of it, and it would break down. It would be a summary of the book, and then you can go into school and fake your way through class.
You can ace a test. Yes, you can. Yeah, there's a, well, you know, you can still do that. There's books out there. I got one sitting on the shelf in the other room. And I mean, I know somebody that went through college, and what they would do is, I mean, they've got all kinds of degrees, but they didn't go and take all the classes. What they did is, you know, they got the book, and each college will allow you, you pay the dues, you can go in and test out. So, and maybe a quarter inch thick of stuff that you would have to read through, you test out. Guess what?
You pass the course.
You pass that course and you're good. I mean, so if you wanted to do accelerated, you know, getting through college and you had the money to do it, you can test out because they still get their money. Although, speaking of which, Elizabeth Warren, of course, her big thing, trying to get Biden to do this, you know, and that is forgive all student debt out there.
All student. Why didn't they do this 40 years ago? I could have used that 40 years
ago. Well, what they're doing is, I mean, is that fair? You know, I mean, now, when they forgive it, do the colleges get paid or not? You know, that's one
question. I just don't know where they're getting all this money from, Bill. I mean, if they're going to give, think about this. If several million people come across the border and get free health care, I mean, unlimited free education, they're going to pay off college loans. Where's this money coming from? It's coming from, by the way, in my opinion, it's coming from the average Joe who's sweating their tail off, working.
That too.
You know, they're working really hard, doing what they do normally, and they're getting shafted.
Yeah,
they're getting shafted. I mean, it's the guy who goes to work every
day.
Well, you know,
the other big thing that's going to be coming from that is that these guys are going to get job preferential treatment coming soon. Now, if you've come here and come in the proper way, then you
most
deserve
of the people
equal opportunity. But if you came in illegally and, you know, this is just a political pet project, you don't deserve squat in my book. Now, I'm not saying you don't totally deserve it, but if you come in that way, make it legal, you know, be here because you want to be here and you want to follow the dream, not change the dream.
People seem surprised when they find out that immigrants who are like Latinos who came to this country and did it the right way, they're the ones who are adamant about illegals not getting preferential treatment. They're actually in favor of them being sent home. These are Latinos who came across, who did the entire citizen process. They value being a U.S. citizen because they know how much effort it took to become one. And they don't appreciate these people coming across the border. By the way, they're not all moms and dads with their little kids. There's a ton of drug people coming across. The increase in fentanyl and other dangerous drugs, cocaine, marijuana, has risen significantly. I mean, these are dangerous times. Would you leave your front door and your back door open at nighttime and go to bed and feel secure?
Nope.
That's essentially what we're doing right now. We're leaving our door open in the southern border, and we're saying, do what you want. Come across if you want to.
Yeah, but you know what? This is going to be spun around on us, and we're going to be made to believe that we're racist or told that we're racist because, you know, it won't be them or us, you know, pointing out our racial differences. It'll be a Nancy Pelosi or a Schumer or someone like that. And let's back up and take a look at the big picture here. What's going on? I really don't care. You know, they could be my color coming across. You steal from me, you're a thief. You know,
true.
Simple as that. You come across that border and you don't have legal passage. You're an illegal alien. I don't care if you're white, green, purple.
I think that we're in interesting times. There are some people who believe that we're close to some kind of a massive swing politically in this country. I don't know. I hope so, because I think right now, I don't know how we can last another 3 years. I don't want to sound so pessimistic, but look at what's happened to our country in the year that Joe Biden has been president. We lost the war in Afghanistan. It was an embarrassing withdrawal of our troops. We left $86 billion worth of equipment there, and several hundred Americans are still trapped in Afghanistan. And the thing, their answer to the whole thing is to ignore it completely. Don't talk about it anymore. Move on. In the meantime, they're still trapped over there. I don't know how we can do another 3 years of this guy. I pray that we're strong enough as a nation to do it and then to recover from it. And people say, well, look, 2022 is coming along and that's going to fix everything. Folks, if they stole 2020, they will only be better at stealing in 2022. And by 2024, they will have refined the process to a point where nobody will be able to find out what happened.
And the virus ticks on, and now we've got another one out there and another one right behind that. And then what comes up the midterm? So,
and what does the virus do? A virus makes it easier for the politicians to say, well, we really need mail-in voting. Mail-in
ballots. That's exactly it. And Biden, you know, the funny thing is, you were talking about Biden and the things he's accomplished. We've also accomplished higher gas prices. We've accomplished inflation. But he says it's not his bad. It's everybody else's. He didn't do this.
With the virus, he said before he was elected, if I'm elected, I'll defeat this virus. He lied. Yeah. Then he said last week, well, hey, listen, it's really the state's problem. The federal government hasn't got an answer. I think that's almost the quote of what he said. The federal government hasn't got or isn't the answer.
Trump said, but you can't say, you know, Trump walked out on an NPR interview because they said, well, we want to talk about the false narrative and the lies and all of this about, you know, the last election.
Really? Was this recently?
Yes, yeah, this past week, over the weekend.
Wow.
He walked out on it. He just said, we're done. That's it. And by the way, you were mentioning something the other day. Oh, yeah. That Biden moved the State of the Union to March. And you said, well, we can't prove that. And CNN reported, oh, yeah, but they did it kind of low key.
Yeah.
They moved it. They haven't said why, but it's March 1st. What the hell's going on?
Well, I've never heard the State of the Union in March. Maybe they did it. Because I know that they used to have the inauguration of the president in March. This is before my lifetime. But so maybe they figured it's not something which is set in stone. They can move it. But it just seems kind of strange. Would you want, if you were a Democrat, would you want to have Joe Biden giving the State of the Union in his fog and dementia? Holy smokes.
People watching from all over the world. In his fog and dementia, you know? So anyway, change the subject here. Apparently when you spend the night at a hotel, you ever lock yourself out of your room?
Never. No, I never have. I don't, apparently. The idea of locking myself out of a hotel. No, I wouldn't. For some reason, when I leave a hotel room, I've got the key in my pocket.
According to a survey of travelers, men are more likely to lock themselves out of their rooms while naked than women are. No. What are you doing outside of your hotel room naked to begin with?
That's exactly right. I mean, and there's some men, by the way, that you don't want to see naked in the hallway. Trust me.
There are women that way, too. Not many, but there are some that way, too. Maybe she was playing a game with you.
Fewer, honey, as you get older, Bill. Fewer. You said something you don't want to see.
You said that. Maybe she sat there and said, honey, while you were playing a romance game in the hotel room, she goes, I dare you to run outside naked. What do I get? Oh. And he runs outside and she slams the door. Maybe that's how that number got there.
I don't know how do you get yourself out of a predicament like that? If someone wouldn't let you into the room. Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't run downstairs to the lobby.
Your all nature outfit with a bucket of ice.
You can't. Oh, holy smokes. Well, this is a happier way to end this podcast.
And we went a long time. Yeah, I'm sure some did. Of this will hit the editing floor, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
Thank you very much for being a part of our day. And we hope that you'll tune in next time. By the way, we're doing it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right now. That's when we post our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, now, look, you know, a lot of people see the post on whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, or whatever else. It's on several different platforms. But, you know, if you see Jim's name out there, Jim Harrington, or my name, Bill Knight, and you go, yeah, I listened to it. I liked it. I got a laugh out of it. Or, yeah, you know, I kind of agree with you. All right. Even if you disagree, I don't care. As long as you don't, you know, name call, love to hear from you. Yeah.
Tell your friends, will you? Spread the word, because that's the only way podcasts are built, by the way, really. It's by basically word of mouth. Yeah. Did you hear about Bill Knight and Jim Harrington? They're doing this thing called It's Another Day. It's a podcast. I think you can listen to them on like Podbean or Spotify or Amazon.com, or I think it's Amazon.com/Audible, I think. So
we heard from one the other day that said, yeah, they're going to do it, but it's going to take a while. They're backed up on putting everything on, and we're still waiting for
iTunes. I think that was.
Yeah. iTunes. And then there's iHeart that, again, they're backed up, but it looks like we'll be on that one too. But all of those platforms don't mean squat if you don't share.
Yes. You know. So please do, right? Hey, folks, have a great day. Bill, it's always a pleasure, my friend. We'll do it soon.
See you the next time.